Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X. And getting started just a few minutes late today because we were able to fit in the back half of a press conference from Louisville where Churchill Downs announcing that spectators limited are going to be allowed to watch this year's Kentucky Derby in person, which is obviously kind of going, I don't know, I want to say somewhat against the grain of other sporting events as we see other sports prepare to return or golf and racing that are already going on. You don't see any spectators. I do think racing is getting ready to allow some spectators coming up soon. And I was surprised yesterday I saw an ESPN report that a number of Major League Baseball teams, now that we know there's going to be some baseball, they're going to try to allow some number of fans in the stadium. So maybe this isn't far off base, but interesting that there will be fans at the September 5th running of the Kentucky Derby in, of course, Churchill Downs in Louisville. That announcement was just made a little bit earlier today. So getting a few late-minute start because of the press conference, but we are live and with you now and glad to be with you here on this Thursday edition of the program. Let's take a look at the show lineup today, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got a couple Zaxby's headlines for the day, a few IU basketball notes, and also a Big Ten note to mention coming up here in just a moment. Later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he joins. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk next year's team. We'll talk a little recruiting with Alex when he joins the segment today, as always. And then later in the show, our final segment today, we're going to talk some high school basketball. Yesterday, we had on Steve Cooley of New Albany football to talk what the offseason, the summer workouts, what the season itself could look like in high school football. And today we're going to do similar with Ryan Miller, the coach at Providence, the basketball coach there. And obviously things in the summer with basketball, including high school basketball, have looked a lot different. Normally June is a very, very busy month between practices and summer league games, and some of the teams go play in tournaments or team camps on the weekend. And obviously none of that has happened across the state and much of the country this year. So that's a lot different. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll talk with Coach Miller about the Pioneers for next season as well. My hope is over this upcoming month or so, we'll really dig in to high school football. We're going to preview and have on the top players from across the area. We've already had on Winkers Wright from Floyd Central, but also the coaches from high school football as well. We always do a big preview show. We'll still do that as long as we're allowed to, but wanted to go ahead and start talking football and what the season could look like and who could be some of the front runners here in the area over the next few weeks, and we'll do that. I'm also, as coaches get in to July and are able to at least have some workouts, basketball workouts, that is, with their teams, we'll have on a lot of the area basketball coaches as well to catch up with what they're seeing and how things are going. And just to give you a look in, a summer look, I've always enjoyed doing that with coaches, and we'll continue doing that again this summer with basketball and football coaches coming up here in future weeks. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham and make sure you check out their new dinner package deals, which are now being offered. And you can dine in, you can take them for pickup, and also curbside service. It's still available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget today, we'd love to hear from you. You got a question, comment for one of our guests, tweet me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, and perhaps your question, your comment will get used on the air. And, of course, it's always fun to get your interaction with what's going on here each day on the program. And also on our Twitter, you can get links to podcasts. You can get notification of who upcoming guests on our program are each day, and a lot of other information about sports and basketball here in Southern Indiana. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And yesterday we saw Trace Jackson Davis tweet out yesterday afternoon that he was back in Bloomington. And so players, whether they're close like Trace just up in Indianapolis or south of Indianapolis, really, where his hometown is, whether everybody's slowly making their way back to Bloomington. And, of course, with that comes COVID-19 testing and other things that have to happen to get these voluntary workouts underway. And, again, a lot of basketball players, it seems, are already back. A lot of football players, I'm not sure if all, I think it's three phases of football, a good number of those players are back on campus. And as far as Tuesday, what we got Tuesday afternoon was that out of 187 tests so far, there have been no positive cases of COVID-19 with athletes and staff related to athletics, and of course coaches returning to campus for these workouts, which is good news. We'll see what type of updates we continue to get from Indiana. We'll see if there are any positive cases. And if we find out if they are, they may or may not release that depending on their protocol and how they're going to do things. But it'll be interesting to see by the time that all the sports are back in Bloomington, which is going to be happening not just this month, but for other sports, it's future months. And really some sports, not until school gets back underway. It'll be interesting to see how many, if we even know, positive cases of COVID-19 there are on the Bloomington campus, at least from an athletic standpoint. This was mind-boggling, this next headline. The Big Ten Network over the last few days had a 24-member panel, they say, that voted on all-decade teams for the Big Ten Conference in men's basketball. And I'm going to start with the third team and then go to the second and the first. And to me, there's always debatable stuff in honors and awards like this. But to me, from an IU perspective, there's one big, big omission from, I don't know if you'd put him on the first or second team, but he would definitely be on one of those in my ballot. But let's start with the third team. Indiana had Yogi Ferrell, Jordan Murphy of Minnesota, Juwan Johnson of Purdue, D'Angelo Russell of Ohio State, Caleb Swanigan of Purdue, and Aaron Kraft of Ohio State. The second team had one Indiana Hoosier. That was Victor Oladipo, Cassius Winston of Michigan State, Carson Edwards of Purdue, Ethan Happ of Wisconsin, Jared Solinger of Ohio State, and that's the second team. The first team has no Hoosiers. Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin, Trey Burke of Michigan, Draymond Green of Michigan State, Denzel Valentine of Michigan State, and Evan Turner of Ohio State. Can you think who the big IU player missing from one of those teams is? How about Cody Zeller? You mean on the all-decade team, he's not good enough for third team? He's not better than some of those players on third or second team? I could even see an argument for first team with Cody Zeller, but he's left out in the Big Ten networks. And a lot of IU fans have made their opinion on this, their voice on this known, but I think a big omission with Cody Zeller not on the all-decade team. Speaking of the Zeller family, Tyler Zeller, who's been out of the pro game for a while, he's going to get a chance when the NBA restarts in the Orlando bubble to play for the San Antonio Spurs, I saw yesterday. So he's been not in the NBA for a few seasons, but getting the opportunity to return at least for this shortened finish to the NBA season and, of course, the upcoming playoffs as well. He will at least start with the San Antonio Spurs. One other Big Ten note in our headlines today, and I just bring this up because it's a Big Ten school, and I think it underscores especially big-time football programs that rely so much upon admission, attendance, and the things that surround that for their budget. Michigan's athletic department, according to Orion Singh, projects a deficit of, get ready for this, a deficit of $26.1 million for the 2021 fiscal year. Again, $26.1 million for the 2021 fiscal year. And again, revenues from spectator admissions is projected to decrease by $29.2 million due to lower anticipated attendance for all sports. That is absolutely amazing. And again, shows you that as you see Connecticut and other schools cutting Olympic sports or cutting at least some Olympic sports, that college athletics and their budgets, they are in trouble right now. And this coronavirus has got everything shooken up. And there's no question we're going to see more cuts, more teams, more programs eliminated, and going to be just interesting, I think, across the board to see what happens even in the highest levels of college sport, the Big Ten Conference, some of the power conferences that you think are pretty solid financially. To stay anywhere close to that, they're going to have to make some cuts. And the Michigan deficit there of 26.1 they're projecting for the 2021 fiscal year kind of underscores, I think, the issue for colleges, no question about that. That's our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Still to come, we have in the next segment, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball. Also coming up later in the show, Ryan Miller, the Providence basketball coach. He'll stop in for a summer basketball update on the Pioneers. We have all of that and more coming your way next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall on this Thursday program. We always chat IU basketball and more with Alex when he's with us. And I want to start with one of our headlines in the last segment today. Cody Zeller not on the Big Ten Network's all-decade men's basketball team. Not even the third team, not even the second team. Definitely not the first team. If there was a big omission, at least from an IU standpoint, Alex, it's Cody Zeller not being somewhere on that list in the all-decade team.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough when you come up with these things because there's going to be great players that are left off. But when I looked at it pretty closely, you know, there's a couple of names on that third team. Jordan Murphy of Minnesota immediately comes to mind. He had a great four-year career at Minnesota. But, you know, got a lot of rebounds, got a lot of stats, but didn't never really win at a high level. And so I look at someone like that being on there and not Cody, and it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense to me. Other than that, didn't have a ton of problems with the rest of the list. I mean, obviously you can argue to have different guys in different spots. It seemed like Ohio State had a pretty large representation on the list, obviously with Evan Turner, Aaron Kraft, D'Angelo Russell, and Jared Solinger. D'Angelo Russell, to me, was another one, you know, one-and-done player. I think they won one tournament game with him there. He had a really good year, obviously went on to a pretty good NBA career, was a high draft pick. But that was another one that I kind of looked at and thought maybe there was a different direction that people could have gone, but they had 24 people vote, and that was the result. And it was obviously fun to follow, and they had Tom Izzo, I think, announced today as the coach of the decade, which I have no argument with.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bozich, my guest. Want to go through some stuff that's been on the Inside the Hall website recently, and one was a story that we talked about on this show earlier in the week, and that was a piece by Dylan Wallace of Inside the Hall about Jerome Hunter. He went to, or he talked with some folks from Ohio that had seen Jerome not only recently play in some open gym settings, but also going all the way back to his eighth grade year. And I'm reminded when I read pieces like that about what type of caliber Hunter was as a player coming out of high school basketball in Ohio. He was only overshadowed in that recruiting class by the whole Romeo Langford saga and how great of a player that he was. But Hunter came to Indiana with professional aspirations. And, of course, we know what he's battled since he's been there with injuries and really a severe health issue from what it sounds like, with his leg, which kept him out basically an entire year. And it's one of those things that, without knowing all the details, there was a long recovery process to it as well. But when you think ahead, and I said this earlier in the week, I've said this even previous to the story that was on your site, but when you think ahead to this season, yes, we know Trace Jackson Davis is going to be dang good for the Hoosiers. There's no question about that. Yes, there's reason to be excited about the point guard's position. Yes, there's other things returning players to be hopeful for. But I'm not sure that I'm more excited and think that there's a player on the roster more than Jerome Hunter that can really trigger this Indiana team to the type of season and the type of success that IU fans really want to see. And that's a good finish in the Big Ten Conference, a good record in the regular season, and getting to the NCAA tournament, not just maybe winning a game, but maybe getting it in a couple weekends.
Yeah, I mean, Jerome Hunter's obviously the guy that you're looking at and say, you know, if this team's going to be better than expectations, or, you know, kind of reaches ultimate ceiling, he's going to be the guy that has to come through and really have a great year. And it sounds like he's off to a pretty good start. Obviously, Dylan, as you mentioned, talked to Zach Fleer, who does a lot of stuff in Ohio in terms of running leagues and watching players, evaluating, scouting, very familiar with the whole state of Ohio. And I know that since Jerome's been back in Ohio, he's been doing a lot of workouts in open gyms and things like that. And Zach had a chance to watch and had some pretty insightful comments, I thought, in terms of just how Jerome is progressing as a player, how he's growing, how he's becoming more confident. I think that was the biggest thing that was missing last year, was he sat out that year and came back and didn't really have a feel for the game like he should have. You know, some of it is obviously expected when you sit out that long, but some of the small details I think were missing from his game. And now that he's got that year under his belt, he's got an off season to kind of get more comfortable, confident in his situation with his injury, I think he's got a chance to just be a really good player next season for the Hoosiers in Bloomington.
Is he a definite starter when you think ahead to next season on this team?
I would say probably. It just kind of depends on how they, elect to structure the lineups. I mean, if you go with a three-guard lineup, then I think maybe he's coming off the bench. But if you go with just the two guards and kind of keep it similar to what they did last year, you know, he could slide into that spot that Justin Smith occupied. And I think that, in a lot of ways, makes sense because he's a lot different than Justin Smith. And it's a better shooter from the perimeter, so he can slide in and take over some of those minutes. But, you know, regardless of whether or not he's starting, I look at this team and I say there's probably seven guys who have a realistic chance to start. And with Justin Smith leaving, they've got four of those starters back. So it's going to be pretty hard to unseat some of those guys. So Jerome Hunter is definitely going to be in the mix to start. You know, if it were me making the lineup, I definitely would have him in there. But, you know, he's going to be playing significant minutes and be a guy that is probably going to be on the floor at the end of games. And that's most important, I think, when you look at it.
Alex, it sounds like most IU players, basketball players, are back on campus, back in Bloomington. Trace Jackson Davis tweeted yesterday he was back in Bloomington. I think it was yesterday early in the evening. Is the word you get that the team is now back? And I'm assuming if you're just getting back, if you're Trace, you probably are going through now this COVID-19 screening and things like that. But what's your understanding, or do you have any knowledge of what's been going on with the players that are back and how the voluntary workouts are going?
Yeah, I don't think everyone is quite back yet. I think, from my understanding, the freshmen were kind of the first ones back, and then a couple returning players were there with them. And then now it's kind of been a slow trickle in terms of other guys coming in. You saw, as you said, Trace Jackson Davis. I'm not sure. I think Jerome Hunter was scheduled to go back at some point this week. But, you know, Indiana hasn't really said anything publicly in terms of who's back. I know they released earlier in the week some testing results. I think 187 guys were tested between football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, and that includes staff and coaches, they didn't have a positive. But, you know, I think it's in terms of the workouts, I mean, we've seen some stuff on social media from Cliff Marshall getting back in the weight room. I assume that he is involved somewhat. The coaches at this point cannot be involved in any formal way. Everything is voluntary at this point, so I wouldn't expect to see any of it, anything publicized from IU in terms of what's going on at this point. Maybe that changes later in the summer when the more official type workouts and work with coaches, the 8 hours a week, can begin. But at this point, everything's pretty much been kept under wraps. It's my understanding right now that not every player is back on campus at this point, but it's been a kind of slow, gradual ramping up to getting everybody back on campus here in the near future.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Don't forget to check out InsideTheHall.com and follow him at Inside the Hall on Twitter for all sorts of IU basketball stuff. As these guys get back to campus, I know we've seen Cliff Marshall with videos of him entering the facility for the first time and turning the lights on and things like that. Again, we expect this to be pretty much weight, strength and training, conditioning type stuff with him leading the charge. And then according to some NCAA things that were passed a few weeks ago, it does appear that later in the summer, that's maybe when the basketball staff or really any specific sports staff could enter the picture and begin doing maybe on the court stuff. Is that a fair read of what the summer could look like if all goes well?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. It's obviously a modified approach from what we've seen in the past based on just what's going on with everything with the virus right now. But my understanding is that from a basketball perspective, and this isn't just from Indiana, this is just in general, the objective is to start, I think, later in July, something right around July 20th or 21st, and then actually have the 8 hours a week go until about mid-September, and that would nearly take them up to the start of practice. So usually it's, you have the summer and then you have a break. This is going to be, obviously an extended break before you ramp up your summer, and then there's not going to be much of a layoff between when those workouts in the summer end and when the start of practice begins, assuming that everything is going to go on as scheduled and start as we all hope in the fall.
Alex, you guys wrote recently about a potential recruiting target from Evansville, and I always think it's interesting to track some of the good young players in the state. Oftentimes you start to hear about them. Maybe you read a story, you hear about their recruitment, they're getting some mid-major offers just before some of the bigger schools begin to recruit and perhaps offer them themselves. One of those players is Julian Norris of Evansville-Ballsy. He's a 2022 member of that class. He'll be a junior when school resumes here later this fall. At Ballsy High School down at Evansville. And he's someone that's got attention from schools like Murray State and others. Not sure that he's had any true contact with Indiana, but I've just been talking some this week about this class, the 2022 class in Indiana, and how it may not be as good as the 2021 class, which is led by Trey Kaufman and, of course, Caleb First, and then Blake Wesley probably behind those two. But it's a pretty good class, and Julian Norris is another name from Evansville to pay attention to as Indiana begins to expand its recruiting in the state for that class.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. As you mentioned, Indiana hasn't really done a whole lot in terms of, offering or anything like that. To my knowledge that he doesn't have a Big Ten offer at this point, but he is in the Rivals 150. And that is obviously going to get him some attention. And I think what you've seen with Indiana's recruiting approach in state, they've obviously guys like Trey Kaufman and the higher ranked guys they offer pretty immediately. But the in-state guys, their approach, the ones that aren't ranked as high, their approach has been a little different. We saw it with Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway. They kind of watch and see how they develop, keep tabs on them. It's easier for them to get down to games and things of that nature. But anytime you've got a Rivals 150 guy in your own state, I think you definitely take a look, and he seems like a kid that's really improving. You mentioned, I think, Murray State getting involved. There's some other mid-majors that have already offered. And usually with these guys that aren't, you know, the clear-cut five-star type prospects, you know, they fly maybe a little bit under the radar, and then later in their careers, you look up and they're ranked the top 100, and then all the Big Ten schools and schools from around the country start to come knocking. So I think that's what Julian Norris is hoping will be the case for his recruitment. But definitely, you know, it's early for that class. He's only going to be a junior. I think he's definitely a name, though, that to have on the radar and keep an eye on for now.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Want to close with this. You're a big baseball guy, and we now know we're going to get baseball. And of course, there's going to be a lot of different rules and regulations that make it a pretty, I think, chaotic season. But what are your thoughts about baseball returning? And you're a big White Sox guy, but what do you think about getting back to some baseball action finally?
I think it's going to be better than the alternative, which was a canceled season and no baseball and a huge I think at some point there's still going to be obviously a big labor dispute. But for now, I think everybody just wants to see something, whether it's empty stadiums. That's fine with me. I just want to have something in terms of live sports to watch. I think, you know, this part of the country, there's a ton of obviously Reds fans, Cubs fans, Cardinals fans. And I'm sure all those fan bases, too, want their team back and want to be able to watch. And I think it's going to be an exciting season from the standpoint of you're only going to have 60 games, so every game is going to mean a little bit more. And also, the playoffs are going to be expanded. So maybe going into the season, you didn't think your team had much of a chance to make the playoffs, and now they're going to take a couple more teams, so anything can happen. It's going to be, I think, a lot of fun to watch. I mean, baseball is such a you know, kind of a local community sport. You know, obviously the cities where the teams are is where these teams are closely monitored and followed. But I think just in general, people are really craving live sports. And for baseball to be able to get back a little bit sooner than the NBA, I think is going to be good for them to get some eyeballs on their games. And we'll see how it goes. And I'm looking forward to hopefully a successful return for that. Not only that, but the NBA and all the other sports that are hoping to come back and get sports back on television.
Yeah, it'll be hard to imagine. Of course, we've got the TBT tournament coming up starting July 4th, and I'll watch bits and pieces of that. But it's going to be hard to believe at one point we'll be able to flip between NBA basketball and Major League Baseball, in addition to the other things like golf and auto racing that are already going on. And NBA sounds like it's going to be almost a marathon-type deal where there will be games throughout the day, which will be very interesting as well. So, Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Great stuff from InsideTheHall.com, and we always look forward to this segment each week. We'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, Matt. Have a good day. Thank you.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall with us as we head to a commercial break here in just a moment. And again, big announcement locally in sports just earlier before we came on the air. In fact, we were able to carry a portion of the press conference from Louisville, but Churchill Downs today announcing that fans, a limited number of fans, will be allowed into the Kentucky Derby when it is run in September of this year. You want to talk about something crazy with sports, the Derby in September, the Derby with what we thought maybe would be no fans, but now it's going to be limited fans. That is going to look a lot different for the city of Louisville and just for the Derby itself. But glad to see that some fans, and they got a plan approved to have some fans in the track for that. That will add obviously to the race, and again a big sporting deal locally here, not just for Louisville but for the entire Kentuckiana region. There's no question about that. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, one final segment, we'll be joined by Ryan Miller. He's the basketball coach at Providence, first year head coach at Providence, had a great year. Won a sectional championship, and then, of course, we all know the state tournament was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But we're going to talk with him about that, about the upcoming season, and what workouts in July from a basketball perspective will look like. You've got a social distance. How can you play basketball and social distance? It's going to look a lot different when these high school basketball teams get together here in a couple weeks as well. To a commercial break we go. Ryan Miller of Providence next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Yesterday, we talked some high school football with Steve Cooley of New Albany, and today, high school basketball with Ryan Miller, the head coach at Providence. And the Pioneers are coming off a great season and a wonderful first year for Coach Miller at the helm, although, of course, as we all know, the state tournament was canceled after the Pioneers captured the sectional championship. Coach Miller, great to have you with us today. It's always great to talk some basketball. Look forward to catching up with you.
Yeah, likewise, Coach. Really appreciate you having me on, and good to be here as always.
Absolutely. I know that the end of the season was tough. All the success you had, momentum was really on your side, and then you get to the sectional, you win the thing. It's a great week, a wonderful week for your program, and you're headed to the regional, and then that's when, day by day, this coronavirus pandemic really began to bear its force on our country, and we saw all sorts of events from the NCAA tournament to pro sports, even to Indiana's famed high school tournament get canceled. We've not talked on air since that time. I'm curious how difficult of a time that was for you and your team, and what a tough conversation to have with a team that was playing so well and winning that sectional championship in a big way just days before the cancellation.
That's right, Coach. Yeah, it's been, as you said, a tough time for everybody. You know, initially we didn't know exactly what to expect. I guess none of us did. You know, there's still hope that this might be a brief hiatus, and that we'd be able to resume, you know, life as we knew, with a sense of normalcy. Obviously, as we all know, that didn't occur. And yeah, it's been a challenging several months for all of us. You know, initially, I think a lot of us folks who were, you know, involved with basketball, there was obviously a sense of disappointment, you know, at first. But as we all began to understand the gravity of the situation and how it was, you know, going to be impacting all of us much, much further beyond any realm of athletics, we obviously came to new perspectives and I guess ultimately grew to be thankful that, you know, for us basketball folks, we were able to have the majority of our season, especially for those, you know, seniors that you think about. And, you know, so ultimately grateful that we got our season in, and then, you know, your thoughts go out to all those other individuals, athletically speaking, who didn't get to have their season at all. And then, of course, just obviously beyond the scope of that, you know, much, much larger impacts.
Absolutely. And Coach, basketball even since that time has looked a lot different, because normally June would be a hectic month. You would be doing things with your current teams, playing some games, getting workouts in, probably in the weight room as well. You would even be working with likely your future players at Providence as well with a basketball camp. But none of that activity could take place in June across the state, as schools are still closed, the buildings at least, until July 1st. Now, in July, the state has said, the state Department of Education and the IHSAA, that, you know, you can get back in the gym, you can do some things, but across the board it varies from school to school and county to county what exactly different people are doing. What do you think July workouts, practices, whatever you're terming them, will look like for Providence basketball in July, and how different will they be from what a normal Ryan Miller practice looks like?
Yeah, you're right. We've all been, you know, schools across the state and across the nation have been obviously trying to come up with the best plan of action, the safest plan of action, and that which makes sense for each place. You know, it's definitely, I kind of chuckled because you said, what's it going to look like? You know, certainly here early on, you know, it talks about limiting contact and things of that nature and having spacing. So I think all of us coaches are trying to, you know, rack our brains a little bit to figure out, you know, what we can do. And, you know, I was joking with one of our guys before who, you know, we have a lot of contact in our practices typically. You know, we try to play physically within the rules. And, you know, some of our guys who we struggle to get to take charges, who said maybe there'll be a new 6-foot rule. If someone gets within 6 feet of you, you can just fall down and they call the charge. But thankfully, that's, you know, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's going to be different for all of us, and we're just going to have to be flexible. And, you know, I think there's going to be for a lot of us a lot of skill work, you know, being done here in July. And ultimately, you know, I think at least speaking for our program, and I think for a lot of other coaches and kids as well, you know, I think one of the main things is going to be getting back together, you know, just seeing each other, you know, whatever that is. You know, we're just thankful that we're going to be able to be back together.
Yeah, no question. Providence coach Ryan Miller, my guest, talking a little basketball today and what the summer will look like for high school basketball teams here in the area. You know, I know this is your first year at Providence, but you've been at Floyd as an assistant for a number of years. You previously were at Providence as an assistant. And in all those years that you've coached, there's been summer basketball out at the high school level, meaning Providence players can suit up, they can play together in the month of June normally, and you can also do it in July as well, although most coaches opt not to, and kind of practice and play, and it's a lot like the regular season in a way, but the games don't matter, there's not a lot of fans, sometimes the score's kept, sometimes it isn't, and really it's just an opportunity for coaches to gauge what they've got and how different lineups work. A lot of times rosters are not complete, so-and-so's playing baseball or so-and-so's playing another sport at the time, missing the summer period, which can be really good for teams. How could that affect your team when you do gather, we hope, for the start of real basketball in the regular season later this winter?
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with all of those things. You know, it is valuable for all coaches and for the kids, the kids determining, I think, you know, new roles and such. In particular, you know, it honestly, I heard one of our coaches say, and it's a very true statement. I thought, huh? I kind of said, well, yeah, you know, we're on the same boat. And they said, well, actually, we're on the same storm, but we're in different boats. So it's true, you know. So you know, at Providence, we have a new football coach, for example, you know, coming in first year. And, you know, for those individuals, it's a real challenge, you know, and I would speak for ourselves then last year. If this would have happened last year, as you saw our team play last summer, as you'd be over there at the scores table and I'd kind of glance over at you when our guys would make a particular play, just have a little comic relief so that I don't pick up a chair and go Bobby Knight. You know, if we didn't have the summer period last year, it would have been wow. It would have been tremendously challenging because, as you said, you know, you're able to, as a coach, you're able to figure out a lot. You know, hey, what is my team, especially as a new coach, and then even for the players, you know, each year we have departures, and then you're getting to see, you know, who's going to be able to step into new roles, a little bit of a preview, if you will, you know, of the upcoming season, providing opportunities for kids, you know, who were juniors now becoming seniors to step into those, you know, roles of leadership. And, you know, so it's very valuable, I think, from that regard, and it will be a little more difficult come, you know, come November because, you know, coaches and players haven't had that opportunity.
Coach, the good news is some of those struggles that we witnessed together with your young Pioneers last summer greatly improved. And, of course, you finished 18-7 last season with a sectional championship. I know you lose a couple key players from that team, but I also know you're excited about what's coming back and what's coming into the program as well. I don't expect you to name every player, but maybe highlight some of those seniors that you lose. I know you had some that led in different categories, whether it be points or whether it be vocal leadership. And then, of
That's
course,
right.
I know that you've got some other guys coming back you're excited about.
That's right, Coach. Yeah, and you're right. We've had some discussions about this previously, just you and I. But yeah, we've lost, as you know, being a coach. Obviously, some guys you're fully aware of, the guys that did some scoring and rebounding and all that stuff, like Sterling Huber, a great, you know, 3-year starter for the program, Austin Grants, who was, you know, not only a scorer but a great rebounder as well. You got Alec Fougerou, who was our top, you know, defender. You got Austin Barnett, who, although the young man missed most of the season due to injury, when he got back at the end of the year, he was vital to our team. And then the guy who was ultimately our vocal, you know, leader in Bryce Hutchins, who, you know, starred mostly in baseball, but as a basketball program, he was invaluable to us, so much so that we called him our MVP, even though he only played, you know, a couple minutes a game. So those are all very significant losses, but, you know, and you know, they helped pave the way, you know, for our next group. But we do feel like we got some good ones coming back too. You know, the likes of Nick Sexton, who's been starting, you know, been playing since a freshman point guard. Zach Johnson, forward, David Wall. These are all guys who got some experience. And we've got a couple other upcoming seniors, you know, in Brendan Finnegan and Jackson Murphy, and then several other underclassmen who showed good promise last year, both at the JV level and, you know, at the varsity level as the year progressed. So we feel like we got some good pieces in place, and obviously I feel so incredibly fortunate to have, you know, the best coaching staff I could ever ask for, you know, with the likes of Lance Stemler, Dan Block, Brad Denman, our JV coaches, Chris Carruthers, Ryan Pickerell, and you know, the whole group of them. There's too many to list if you ever looked at our bench before.
Providence,
we'd be here for a couple minutes.
Providence coach Ryan Miller is my guest. Coach, I want to close with this. Last year was a big year. You took over the program. We've talked about the success. It was a great year. You've been honored for a lot of that success as well this offseason. But next year, personally, employment-wise, is a big year for you as well, because you're stepping into another role and a bigger role at Providence. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I started here in May, you know, as director of advancement. So, you know, just working with our community and alumni base. Obviously, being a private school, a Catholic school, we need support from all of our members within our community, and we're fortunate that we do have a great, tight-knit, you know, very supportive community. So, you know, working in that role, got a lot of great people, you know, on board there. And, you know, as I mentioned, my coaching staff, all those guys and even the others I didn't mention, who they know who they are, and they're incredibly valuable too. All those guys, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be calling upon them to step up some of their role this year as well, which they're fully capable of doing.
Absolutely. Ryan Miller, the coach of Providence, with us for a little summer basketball update. Coach, I know we'll be in touch between now and the season, and of course just crossing our fingers that all goes well in July and that we can get back to a high school basketball season with maybe some normalcy when we get to the winter months.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. We're all looking forward to that. And if I could, before we go, say thanks to you, you know, for the coverage you provide for our area of high school athletics, as well as the News and Tribune, those guys, the Courier Journal. And also I wanted to mention before we go, because as you said, we haven't spoken on air since, I guess, March, but the passing of Mr. Lee Kelly, who's been just such a key figure in this community, in particular at New Albany High School. So thoughts out to his family and the community, as well as some other folks. Great job this year, I think by several schools, honoring Charlie Jenkins, a prominent Providence High School individual who obviously was key in the world of journalism and broadcasting. Class act by several schools this year, honoring him at our away games. And then at Providence High School, for any Providence folks listening, the recent passing of Mr. Sonny Combs, who he's just a key figure in this community, a man of who has served the community for many years. So yeah, to all those individuals, you know, our thoughts out to their families and those communities.
Absolutely. Very well said. All three that you mentioned there, key individuals in our Southern Indiana community. And I'll tell you a quick little Lee Kelly thing, because I know he thought a lot of you. Lee was clearly a New Albany fan after teaching there for 40-plus years, and he was a Silver Creek fan because that's where he went to school. He wasn't a Providence fan. But that said, when people like you and others that have had that job recently, he got to know through this show and through interviewing him, he would always tell me, he'd say, Matt, I'm not a Providence fan, but I'm closer to one now with Coach Miller there. He's a good guy. Enjoy talking with him and wish him the best. So you definitely, and so many coaches, had an impact on him as well. I know he thought the same, and appreciate the kind words.
Yes. Well, thanks for sharing that. He truly was a great man, and that's what all this is about, relationships, getting to know people, and he definitely impacted our community in a very real way.
Absolutely. Ryan Miller, coach at Providence. Coach, we'll chat again. Have a great summer.
Thank you, Coach. You as well.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of our program. Don't forget to stay with us. We'll be back Friday at 11 o'clock. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll also be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on IU basketball, and a lot more coming your way. And, of course, we're available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts. Just search The Hoosier Report. You can subscribe. You can get all of our podcasts if you can't join us live in the 11 o'clock hour here on the Big X. Have a great day. Until tomorrow, this is Matt Dennison with The Hoosier Report.